This is our reading for Thursday, April 9th. We're going to read from John chapter 10. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So going back to verse 1 in order to make some comments here, he says, "He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." So the sheepfold was an enclosure that was made in fields where they would take the sheep and collect them at night so that they could be defended from robbers or from predators. It's not like we might think of today of putting them sort of in a barn or something like that. The seasons in Judea were mild enough that it didn't even need to be enclosed. It was just a place where they would have, I guess a corral might be a way of thinking of it today. And I think we understand the figure that he's using here. You know, if somebody doesn't go in by the door, they go over the fence or they come in the side, then they probably have some nefarious motivations. They're there to do something that be untoward. Verse 2, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." You know, that's the way we do it. We go around to the gate. We go in the gate. We go in the door into the area because that's normal. As those that belong would go in and out that way. And, of course, I'm relating this to how we might take care of a flock ourselves. But he's talking about the shepherd, and we understand that he's talking about himself. Then he talks about a gatekeeper and the sheep hearing his voice. It's amazing to me how much animals learn about their masters. Now, obviously, I don't have a flock of sheep, and I don't have a herd of cattle. And so in that area, many of you are much more experienced in those things than I am. However, I think about even pets, dogs and cats, and I have had, you know, a small number of cattle in the past, and how they get used to sounds and they get used to schedules and they get used to you, your smell, your voice, everything about you. And I remember when I was a teenager, we had one calf that was weaned too young, and so we would have to feed that calf with a bucket that had a nipple on it where you could put some nourishment in there for it to suck like it would off of a mother cow. And so I would mix that up and take that out there, and as soon as that calf would realize I was coming, it would come to meet me at the fence. In fact, it was usually so eager that I didn't have to go in the gate. I could just go up to the fence and just stand there with that bucket, and that calf would stick his head through the barbed wire and get his sustenance. And in fact, it's kind of funny how it became almost affectionate toward me because I was the one that would go out there and feed it. My understanding is that most animals that we keep as either pets or raising them as a profession do something similar. Horses, cattle, sheep, goats, they get used to the person that takes care of them. There's a certain amount of trust that they develop on their own level for those. And so Jesus is using this because they would understand it. They would understand that sheep tend to recognize who the shepherd is, and they follow it. If somebody tries to lead them that they don't know and they don't trust, then not only would they not follow, but as he makes the point here in this passage, they would even scatter. They would go away from them. So it's an important way of thinking about those that would heed the gospel of Jesus Christ and become disciples of Jesus. If we are drawn by the gospel, if we accept these things into our heart, then we trust Jesus and we follow him. And when we hear something that doesn't line up with what Jesus says, then that's a strange voice, and we don't trust that. But he's making an application, of course, for the Jews that he's talking to and about at this time as well. And so verse 4, not only do they trust him, but he leads them. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. The sheep follow, for they know his voice. Well, where is he leading them? He's leading them to good water, good pasture, safety, all of these things that go along with the picture of a shepherd. Verse 5, they'll flee from the stranger because they don't know their voice. Verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand that he was saying what he was saying to them. Sometimes we're pretty hard on the Jews for not catching some of these things. But at the same time, we have to realize that I am looking at this from my perspective, in which I have the whole revelation of God, and I've got it all laid out to look at it all at once, whereas they were getting a little bit at a time. So just kind of keep that in mind when it says they don't understand. Verse 7, he says, I am the door of the sheep. Now we know that in John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 7 here, he's saying, I am the door. That a door is a means by which we would enter into something. Well, what would we be entering? Well, we'd be entering into the kingdom of God. We would be entering, of course, today into his church. Verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. It goes back to saying that if they go in some other way, then, you know, they have those nefarious motivations. Keep in mind, he's not talking about the prophets that came before him, because they were sent by God and they were bringing the message of God. But it's those who came that were pretenders. They wanted to be guides of the people. They wanted to be looked up to by the people, but they were not true in their intentions, nor were they true in their understanding in order to bring people to God. They were bringing them somewhere else if those people did follow them. But he says, the sheep, that is the true flock of God, those that truly knew God, that they didn't follow these thieves and robbers because they were bringing some strange message, some strange voice. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 2, it says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Ah, the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. God has always had strong language for those that would put themselves in a position of leading the flock of God, but do so really for their own selfish motivations, not out of a desire to truly feed the sheep. God expects those that lead His people to truly feed the sheep. We understand today that those that would be shepherds within local congregations, or elders as we would call them, must shepherd the flock of God among them. They must feed the sheep. We must do that spiritual work, not out of a selfish motivation, but a motivation to help others. And then verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Well, we've talked about this door figure. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And those with that selfish motivation, they only want to take. They want to steal. They want to remove things from the flock. But Jesus says, I, as the great shepherd, the good shepherd, I have come to give. I am giving to the flock. I bring life and life abundantly. So that is then verse 11, I am the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. So this is a contrast that Jesus is drawing. He says, those that are my flock and me being the good shepherd, I will fight for them and I will die for them. Well, he is the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sins of mankind for all those that would hear his word, come to him and heed those things, or go in through the door to enter into the flock of God. And he says, others, they see those predators coming and they flee. They're not willing to die for them. And he says that's because they're a hired hand. They don't truly care for the sheep. That hired hand is just there for his wages. And those wages are not such that he's going to truly risk his life for the flock. And so that contrast is between him being the true shepherd, the one that would die for the flock, and of course be the sacrifice for sins. Okay, so verse 14, I know my own and my own know me. Jesus knows those that are truly his, and those that are truly his can recognize the message of Jesus, the gospel, the true scripture, rather than any false message that might be out there. Verse 15, he has said, I know my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, that unity that we've talked about before, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Then verse 16, there are other sheep not of this fold, a prophecy toward the Gentiles being brought into the flock of God and becoming one flock with one shepherd, that being Jesus. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. He's talking about doing the will of the Father and that unity that occurs between the two, because Jesus is here to do the will of the Father. Verse 18, speaking of his life, no one takes it from me. Well, when they arrested him and crucified him, they didn't do it truly by force. He allowed them to do it. So he laid it down of his own accord, according to the eternal plan of God. He says, I have the authority to lay it down, being the Lamb of God. I have authority to take it up again, being the Son of God and being deity himself. This charge I have received from my Father, that is, to fulfill that particular role. This creates a division among the Jews because of these words. Some say, again, he has a demon, he's insane. Others say, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. I don't know exactly what the words of somebody who's oppressed by a demon would sound like, but I can imagine that it would sound pretty crazy. And so I think what they're saying is, he's completely coherent. What he says agrees with the prophecies. And so that I can't accept that he's somehow insane, or he's out of his mind. And then they go on further, verse 21, can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Well, going back to chapter 9 that we previously read. So very important concepts that Jesus is teaching. I'm very thankful that he is the good shepherd and that he is my shepherd. And as one of the local shepherds here in amongst this congregation, I take very seriously the role of shepherding the flock of God, of answering to the good shepherd, the one true shepherd. I take that very seriously. I know the other elders do as well. And so as we think about moving forward as the congregation and as part of the flock of God, I implore you to realize that we all need to be fed spiritually, and that Jesus provides that sustenance. He brings life, and he brings it abundantly. It's not going to come from anywhere else. It can only come from Jesus. And I'm very thankful that he offers it to us so freely, that we might partake, we might drink, and that we might desire more of what he offers. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer, and please come back for another reading tomorrow.